Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Chulin Daf Tzadi Chulin 90. And today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara mentions a word that caused it to go on a little bit of a tangent. So the Gemara mentioned the word Tafuach, and in that context, since it mentions like a pile, a Tafuach, a mound on the altar, the Gemara brings a Mishnah which relates to the Tafuach, this Tafuach, this mound on the altar, and from there the Gemara goes into another tangent. So what does it state in the Mishnah in Talmud in chapter 2, Mishnah 2? It says Tafuach, that there was a place on the altar where the ashes of the altar were gathered. Haya be'emtza mizbeach, this was in the middle of the altar. And pa'amim haya kishlosh me'os kor, sometimes they allowed this mound of ashes to gather on the altar until it filled up 300 kor, which was a very, very large amount, very large amount of ashes. So Rava responds, and he says, Rava comes several generations after the Mishnah, and he says, Guzma, this is just an exaggeration, that we were not required to take that Mishnah literally. Because the Rava says we don't have to take that literally, and so therefore Rava says it's a guzma, it's an exaggeration. So since the Gemara brought something where a later sage said that the earlier teaching was not meant to be taken literally, the Gemara brings several other places where it's clear that the intent of the original source should not be taken literally. So says the Gemara, there's another Mishnah in Tamid, Mishnah chapter 3, Mishnah 4, where it states Hishku es HaTamid, that they used to take the animal which was about to be slaughtered, and before they slaughtered it, they would give it to drink from water, bekos shel zahav, in a gold utensil. So the intent was that they would give it to drink from this kos shel zahav, this gold utensil, to make it easier to skin the hide off of it after the slaughter. So here too, Rava says this was a guzma, this is an exaggeration, because Rava understood that the baseline, most of the utensils in the temple were not made out of gold, but they were made out of copper. And the copper is something that was clear and shiny, and obviously looks a little bit like gold. So therefore, the people who saw this were calling it gold, even though it wasn't really gold. And so, however, the Tana in Tumid, who says that it's gold, his intent was not to try and trick everybody into thinking it was gold, but his intent was to say that they didn't drink it with a utensil that was beneath the copper, like a pottery utensil, but rather they gave the sheep the copper utensil, and so therefore, since it looked a little bit like gold, they called it gold, even though it was not the intent for it to actually be a gold utensil. So they gave the sheep something to drink from a nice utensil. And says Rabbi Ami, Dibra Torah Lashon Havai, that Rabbi Ami says that sometimes the Torah also speaks an exaggerated language. Dibur Neviim Lashon Havai, sometimes the prophets speaking exaggerated language, and Dibur Chachamim Lashon Havai, and also the sages. So everybody is prone to exaggeration. Dibur Chachamim Lashon Havai, so where do the sages speak in exaggerated language? Well, we just said Hada Amran. These are the two cases that we just spoke about. The case of that they gave the animal to drink, the tamid animal to drink from a gold utensil, when really was copper, and the idea that they allowed 300 kor to pile up on the altar. Where does the Torah speak in Lashon Havai? So according to Rabbi Ami, he cites the verse that it states before the children of Israel entered into the land of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 1. It says, Shema Yisrael, listen Israel, atal vera yom esayar day. Moshe says to them, you're going to cross the Jordan today, lavola rashis gaim gedolim vatsumim mecha, to inherit the land from nations that are bigger than you, which have arim gedolos uvitzuros bashamayim. They have cities that are giant and fortified in the heaven. And certainly it's not the case to say that their cities were actually in the heavens itself. So it's an exaggeration. It doesn't mean that they were in the heaven. It's not meant to be taken literally. And where do we know that the prophets also spoke in exaggerated language? So says Rabbi Ami, it's from the verse that we know that when King Solomon was coronated in 1 Kings, in the first book of Kings, chapter 1, verse 40, it states that vatibaka ha'aretz bikolam, that the earth shook as a result of their celebration. exaggeration as a result of their voice. And clearly, Rabbi Yami says that that is just an exaggeration, because there was not, the earth didn't really actually shake, but it just shows how much joy there was in the world. So then Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani says in the name of Shmuel that there are three places, not where the sages spoke in Lashon Havai, and that we had said in our Gemara earlier one place, or Rabbi Yami said one place. We had actually cited two. But the name of Shmuel, we say that there are three places. One is the Tapuach that we talked about, the 300 mounds of the 300 core of ashes on the altar. And the second place is the Geffen, and the third place is the Parochet. And so the Geffen is a reference to the fact that, what does it state? It states in the Mishnah in Midos that there was a golden grapevine that was standing outside the temple antechamber. And Al-Pitcho Shel Hecho was on the entrance to the temple, umudla agave kornosos, and it was placed upon beams, and whoever would make a donation of the gold would stick it on there until it became so heavy, and they needed, says Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadik, 300 kohanim to move it. That's how much gold there was on that. And the parochas, what is a reference to the curtain? So there, here also, we're talking about the weight of the curtain. The Gemara describes the weight of the curtain was so big, and that twice a year they would make these parochas, and they needed shlosh meos kohanim matpiono. So they need 300 kohanim to pick up this curtain and immerse it in the mikvah. So all these, in the name of Shmuel, the Gemara says, are exaggerations. We see from here that the Talmud understood that we don't have to take every single thing that appears in the Talmud literally, that there are certain places that we can assume that they were exaggerations. The Talmud lists only three, but in this case, but these lists are not meant to be all exhaustive, that there's a possible situation where there are other places where the Talmud uses a language of Guzma or Lashon Havai.